Hello, this is Britta Alexander with Year of the Book, and today we have such a special guest, Ned Levitt, a literary agent who has brought many, many important voices into our world. Joan Porisenko, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, Carolyn Mace, Chris Northrup, David White, the list goes on. Thank you so much for being here with us, Ned.
Hey, Britta, it's so great to see you and to do the Skype thing, my first time ever being recorded on Skype, so it's an honor and exciting, and yes, I did do all those things, so I plead guilty as charged.
The man behind the magic. This is a very rare view of Ned's office. So today I wanted to talk to you on behalf of a lot of health coaches I work with. There are a number of people who are doing incredible work out there with their clients. They're doing online programs. They're developing a large platform and really helping people change their lives. And the next step for many of them would be to think about writing a book. Some of them plan to self-publish. Some of them really want to go after that big book deal. And so part of my style is to let people know what they're up against and let them know the reality. And because by having that information, they can make strategies and make a plan to put their best foot forward when they do go after agents and trying to secure that book deal. So can you tell me what one of the biggest hurdles may be for someone who's a health coach who's wanting to publish with a mainstream publisher?
Well, the mainstream publishers, unfortunately, are still a little bit hooked on the MD, PhD situation, although I do have a client who's does not have either of those credentials, but she has spent several years building a business in Manhattan based on very sophisticated health coaching and has a degree from the IIN, which is apparently becoming more and more accepted as a way to go. But the key for her was that she really built a business. She's not only a personal coach, she's not only trying to help people get their health on track, but she's also got a business mind. And so she has raised funding, she has created an office, and she's been doing this for 4 or 5 years. And that's what made it work for her and why we were able to get her a really good deal with a major publisher, in this case, HarperOne.
Right, okay. And I looked at this author's Twitter feed and Facebook page and website, and she had something like 20,000 followers on Twitter, a number of online programs that it looks like she's running. We can even invite her to be on our show at some point to tell us more about her specific platform that she's built. But when you put her book proposal together, what was it that you think really made her shine?
Well, first of all, she's very charismatic. She's a very strong speaker. She has appeared, you know, on a couple of the major networks and little health show vignettes. She's been a speaker at the Hay House conferences, which are, you know, a great draw for people in the health, you know, people who are very health conscious and looking for alternative ways to deal with health. So you start with her personal charisma, and that's something that people really responded to. Secondly, she had a very, very strong message. She had a personal story that is really very affecting. She had, you know, just really insurmountable health issues in her teens and early 20s, and the docs said basically, take the pill and that will solve your problems. And she tried the pill and it didn't solve her problems. And they just didn't know what to do with her. So the next step for her was to really go and do a tremendous amount of research. She wanted to figure out what was going on with her. So she actually went to Johns Hopkins as a pre-med and ultimately decided not to go the full MD route because what she found was that the MDs were not coming up with the answers and she had to find them herself. So eventually, and it's a great story, and this is the key to any kind of a book deal is having a great story, she discovered her own diagnosis. And when she took it to her gynecologist, the gynecologist kind of said, oh, well, yeah, I guess so. Let's test for that. And she's like, really? Let's test for that? You couldn't have thought of that before? You know, I had to do all this research. So she's a feisty character. She had to be feisty to overcome the resistance of the medical profession.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about her personal credentials, and we talked about her platform that she built. What are some of the other ways that health coaches can look more attractive in the eyes of a traditional publisher? Would partnering with an MD or a PhD be a possibility?
Well, let me first say something you've heard me say many, many times. Britta and I have worked together for a long time. You need to have a really well-written message. And whether that's your own writing or whether it means partnering with a writer, it's very, very important. I mean, the whole basis of my work as an agent is finding people who express themselves on the written page. It's one thing to be able to go before a camera, and I don't say that lightly because not everybody can.
Right.
But when you get to putting together your thoughts in a proposal, you need to go for the long form proposal, not just the, hey, here's 3 pages, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly agents want to see some substance. And if you don't have, you know, in some cases, I've worked with people who, they might be okay writers, and they might be able to do a book in 2 or 3 years because it will take them that much time to do it with the business they're doing and their clients and all. So I counsel people to consider working with a co-author, working with a writer who can help you with the, you know, not only help you with the writing style and capture your voice, but also help with some of the research that might be involved to expand on points that you're making.
Mm-hmm. And that's a way to add that level of meat that you're talking about too to your manuscript, by pulling in research and knowing how to weave research effectively and artfully into your manuscript.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want a dry research journey in a manuscript, but you do need the confirmation and the fact that people can say, oh, she's done the science, she's looked into the science, she's done her homework. It's not just like, you know, I sat on the beach in Oahu with my crystals and I ohmed over them and everything was fine.
Right, right. If one were to partner with an MD or a PhD, what level of involvement would that require? Would having, you know, a foreword be enough, or would having maybe sidebars sprinkled throughout different chapters, kind of with an expert's point of view, help?
Those are possible strategies. I think that finding someone, you know, do you want to find someone who's going to be a co-author with you so that you have the MD on the page? The question is, who's that person and what do they have to offer? It's not just the credentials that you want if you're going to partner with somebody. You know, the way you describe it is more of a magazine approach to have sidebars and things like that, which is a more contemporary style of writing than the dry, more, you know, narrative style. But I think, honestly, it comes back to the core of who you are, what you're doing, what you've uncovered that's different, that people, you know, if it comes out of your own experience, if you have some kind of health situation and you've solved it either through your own research or by finding people, I really think the personal story is so important, or stories of your clients. And if you do that, you need to make sure you have permission from the clients.
Right. And if you don't have permission, you can create composites or not name them specifically, right?
You can, but you need to be cautious about using that kind of thing. There have been some rather large lawsuits against people who thought that they were disguising, you know, the case well enough, but the case themselves knew that it was them. And it, probably in these situations, you wouldn't necessarily run into that difficulty, because the things I'm thinking about were more like in the 70s when they had these big group therapy sessions and people revealed all kinds of things about themselves, and there was a lot of sensationalism. Okay. In this case, probably not, but something to be aware of.
Okay, good to know. Always better to have that permission, even if you do use a different name, than to not. Have you ever seen an author go back and get credentials in order to get published?
No, I haven't. I think that, you know, it's in our world now, people have a lot of self-experience, and sometimes the people with the self-experience are ahead of the curve, and so they're discovering things that the people who are immersed in getting the credentials are not discovering, as was the case with Alisa, my client we talked about earlier. If she had decided to go the MD route and take all of those courses and immerse herself in medical school, it's unlikely that she would have found the cutting-edge research, done the cutting-edge research and found the answers that she found. So that's one of the paradoxes.
One thing that you and I always talked about was, is an author synthesizing, or do they have their own method that they've created? And I think in this case, this is probably a really important aspect as well for a health coach, not to just have a powerful personal story, but to have actually created their own program or method or way. Is that the case with Alisa?
I mean, that's what's going to draw the clients to you in the first place. And a publisher is going to look and say, okay, are you just writing this from your education and philosophy, which might be strong, or do you actually have a client base? Do you have those client stories? Because that's part of the validity. If you're actually helping people to heal, helping people to get better, then that's a credential.
Okay.
And it's an important way to think of it. What are my credentials? My clients are my credentials.
That's great. You talked about having a more substantial book proposal. There's been some talk out there about, you know, shorter book proposals and how they're kind of a hot trend right now, but would you rather see a longer proposal? And how many sample chapters or how many pages of sample material do you tend to like to see?
Okay, so here's the soapbox, the Ned Levitt Agency soapbox.
Okay, give it to us.
You have to show them your voice, and the only way to show them your voice is to give sample chapters. I would say two chapters are fine to show a little bit of a variety of how you're going to handle the information. But the one mistake I urge you not to make is to write a proposal that's all about the book and doesn't have the flavor of the book. Because publishers see these all the time. They know that they're written either by people or by professionals, or they've been written by looking at a proposal book. And I'm here to tell you it's your voice that's going to make it work or not.
That's great. That's really good to know. And when you're saying chapters, are you thinking, you know, 30-page chapters, or what are you kind of thinking?
No, I mean, I often tell people start with 10 pages, and let's see where that gets you. And, you know, if you're working with a writing coach, and I might recommend Britta right here and now, who's a wonderful writing coach and can help you with this process, if you start with 10 pages to see how your voice is developing and what kind of information is coming out, and then, you know, sometimes it's hard to see yourself. So having a coach, a writing coach, since we're talking about that, then they can say to you, you need more of this, blah, blah, blah. That's what I would say about that. There are books that sell on 3 pages. There are books that sell on blogs. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there. Mm-hmm. It's all true. And sometimes it's because, you know, a blogger has such a unique voice, has such a unique approach, and the publishers look and see all the followers and they go, oh my God, you know, let's sign this person on. And and that definitely happening.
Right.
So if you're a blogger and you have a lot of followers, by the way, that's another kind of credential.
Okay.
Publishers look to how many followers you have and, you know, what kind of online presence you have how often you're posting and how the quality of your posts, are they keeping up to a level of quality, et cetera.
Okay, great. So they're looking at everything. If someone is just not there yet, if an author just isn't there yet and they know that and they're not really ready to write their big book, does it make sense for them to write smaller pieces and publish them as ebooks to kind of feed, you know, toward their larger big project? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's an interesting question. What is a book? And, you know, a lot of people now are using the blog form to develop their voice and to develop their information and develop their followings. A book is a marathon, a blog is a sprint. And so, although you can write a short book, you know, let's say, I'm just going to make this up, I would say 150 to 200 pages is probably the shortest book in terms of print form. But in ebook form, there's all kinds of stuff. The only caveat, the only warning is not to dilute your information by putting it out there casually, so to speak, especially if the information is the product of research and the product of your experience with your clients. You don't want to just have it. If people can get it for free in a small ebook, why should they buy it for the book. And a number of people who come, who have a life experience and have a unique perspective on things, really maybe only have one book in them. So you want to consider not letting, you know, the cat out of the bag completely in a free form.
Right. That makes sense. And if you do self-publish, then you sort of risk having to prove your viability to a publisher.
Actually, if you self-publish and you're successful, that's great. If you self-publish and you're not successful, then that's not great.
Right.
So it's the risk. I mean, any kind of exposure, any kind of, you know, writing, music, whatever you're doing, you put it out there online. There are so many great stories about people whose stuff has been discovered, and the stories we don't hear because we don't know.
Right.
What's happened to those people.
Right, right. But it sounds like the lesson in all of this is to focus on your story, focus on creating something that's truly unique, building your credentials in all the ways we've mentioned, and not forgetting that the writing is the core piece. It's not the marketing, it's not the platform, it's not necessarily the credentials, it's your story and how you convey that story.
Yeah, I have to confess that that's my bias. There are many agents who think that the marketing platform, all of that stuff is more important, you know, and if you have a message that's so unique that it's newsworthy, that it's going to get you on the Today Show or get you on some of the prominent, you know, online, you know, venues, then that might be enough.
Right.
Publishers are attracted to things that suddenly create a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a long haul type of guy. That's just my style as an agent. There are agents that will latch on to you if you have something unique, and that might be good.
Okay. All right, great. Do you want to mention the name of your author and the name of the title of her book?
The author's name is Elisa Vitti, and the title is To Be Determined.
Okay.
It's in the process right now, one of the things that goes on between publishers and authors. So as soon as we know, we'll let the world know.
Okay, great. And when do you expect her book to be out?
We're hoping for next spring.
Okay.
She's just, final touches are being put on the manuscript, and it's a hectic time in that process, because they're trying to get the marketing out, and they still haven't quite found the title that's everybody's loving. So
okay,
that's where we are.
Well, we can't wait to find out what you come up with and to invite her on our show at some point.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Ned. It's really a gift to be able to hear straight from you what our authors can do.
Great to see you, Britta, and we're going to continue this collaboration.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.